Coming to you from the greatest city in the world, Columbus, Ohio, this is the Fifth Line Podcast.
Excellent. Absolutely excellent.
Prepare yourself to be serenaded by 30 minutes of poetic podcasting perfection.
Gentlemen, you have my curiosity, but now you have my attention.
With Jordan Mills, Matt Pfeffer, and TJ Nokar, let's get this show started.
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that?
Welcome to the Fifth Line Podcast. We are outside here at Nationwide Arena, home of the Blue Jackets.
And home of the Giraffe Party, second annual.
Yeah, the second annual Giraffe Party.
And guess who's not here for the Giraffe Party?
Jordan. He's working. He's being an adult. Hashtag adulting. Anyway, we are here outside live. Well, you're listening to us later, but we're live. Here at the Front Street Plaza. We're at Front Street and Nationwide right now, right in front of the sign. We are getting ready to find out who the Blue Jackets are going to draft.
Draft.
Joining us today in Jordan's place is Ben Kahn of the OU Artillery. Welcome to the show, sir.
Glad to be here. About time I get to hang with the big dogs.
Oh, I know. Well, listen.
He got the minor league call-up.
Yeah, he got the call-up, man. We liked what you were doing, and, you know, we were just like, hey, you know what? We'll let you on the podcast.
It's more so the fact that we were down a host, so you're the next best thing that was around at the time.
Emergency recall right down the road.
Right. So, anyway, we got a fun-filled show for you today. We're going to have a mystery player. If you've been paying attention to the Artillery Twitter feed, you'll know who that is. And we have another guest. His name is Thomas Gutches. He works with the rock band. You would know them. They're our buddies. Beartooth,
who we had on the show,
we had Taylor on the show probably about five episodes back, maybe four.
That was the Lane Avenue Buffalo Wild Wings
right.
watch
that
party.
That was a great watch
and
party.
And if you don't know anything about Beartooth, they are huge Blue Jackets fans. Huge Blue Jackets fans. They are fifth liners through and through. We're going to have Thomas. We're going to talk about hockey, Columbus, just about anything.
Beartooth?
Yeah, well, of course, duh. But he's got other bands, though. There's another band named Former that he's a part of. And there's also another one called My Ticket Home. And they just got off a tour with Beartooth. Beartooth can't join us today because they're currently overseas representing the 614 over in the UK. So kudos to them, man, going out there and rocking out.
The now free nation nations of the
this?
UK.
This is a political talk. Free zone. We will talk about that on another podcast. We won't talk about that. We are going to talk about hockey and what's good for the Jackets. That's the political state I'm worried about.
And don't forget about Beartooth. There you go.
All right. So
look at him. He's already doing a good job throwing plugs in there for us.
I know, right? I know. Ben's professional.
I try.
So if that's the case, he needs to get off the show because there's nothing professional about us.
All right. So according to this, we are more than maybe about actually, the draft starts right now at 7 o'clock. I want to get your really quick predictions. What are we going to do with the number three pick? This is the first time in Blue Jackets history that we've moved up to the number three pick. We've actually moved up in the draft. Ben, I'm going to start with you. Who do we pick? What do we do?
I think we keep it, like you said earlier, we take the best available player. But I've been reading things that we're going to shop it. So
I think you have to at this point.
Yarmo's always said he does his due diligence. He'll always listen. That doesn't mean he's going to chomp at something.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. He wants it to get hot. He wants that to get hot to a point where he gets what he wants. That's the whole point of dealing and bargaining. You don't pull the trigger on the first thing, Kramer.
Right.
Remember Kramer used to do that? Those are the best episodes. He's like, he burned himself with coffee, and he took like the first offer they gave him. It's like, how about free coffee for life? He's like, I'll take it. But TJ, what do you have?
I guess I'll be the odd or the different one here and say I think maybe we'll make a move with it. I think somebody after Yarmo said he wants to at least see who the first two picks are. I think somebody's going to offer us something really good that we just can't turn down. You know, a group of players, but at the same time, I think we would need to require that team that makes the trade with us to take a large contract off of our hands.
Yeah,
whether that be, you know, I'm not even going to speculate what players.
Yeah.
Let's just say it's going to be, if they're going to take that pick from us, they got to take a large chunk of money with it.
We are in the business of freeing up some cap space. That's for sure.
Yeah,
that's been confirmed by the team. They have to free up cap.
Yeah, because we got this guy. We traded for him last season.
Yeah.
And he kind of needs a contract.
Yeah, which
we took care of one of them. The Wild West gunslinger, mm-hmm. Wild Bill.
Yeah, we took care of that. Wild Bill is now a Blue Jacket for the next two more years, so we're going to have some wild nights with him. Ha-ha, dear pun. Wild nights. So anyway, I have a feeling that we are going to keep the third pick. We're going to take the best available on the board, and then we'll see what happens after that.
More than likely, we're going to see Jesse Puljujarvi in a Blue Jackets jersey.
If you look back at the Cavs, remember what happened with the Cavs? They got LeBron James re-signed, and they had to get somebody to go with LeBron James. And Andrew Wiggins wasn't that guy. And they drafted him anyway. They drafted Andrew Wiggins anyway, but they used him as bait to get Kevin Love.
So you think the Jackets might draft
who knows?
Draft Puljujarvi and then possibly during the draft or after trade his rights away for something else?
This is my IMO. In my opinion, we can possibly do that. But we'll see. Yarmo, if he can develop, if he can get a guy who can contribute right away, he's going to keep him.
Oh, absolutely. That's what we need.
We need a guy who can contribute.
NHL ready.
Right.
So I think between the three of us, we collectively covered every single scenario that the Jackets could possibly. So it's just a matter of seeing, I guess, who ends up being right. I'm not betting anything on this because I always seem to lose every time that happens.
Right.
Especially when I go up against you in some sort of game. You always win.
Well, we may or may not have a guest on the show here, but we definitely confirmed that we have Thomas Gutches. He is currently on his cell phone doing big business deals that we cannot even comprehend. So we're going to be right back with you on the Fifth Line Podcast. Welcome back to the Fifth Line Podcast. We are live. Obviously, you can tell we're live because you hear motorcycles in the background. And we are here on the Front Street Plaza taking in the CBJ
Giraffe Party. Yep, it's Giraffe.
All right, and we are joined here by one of our great friends, friend of the Blue Jackets, friend of Columbus.
And, like, a manager of the unofficial band of the Fifth Line Podcast.
Yeah, we kind of are. Yeah, I was going to say, they're pretty much the unofficial of the Fifth Line Podcast.
They're the only band whose music we've had on our podcast.
Not just that, like, they just, well, they're awesome. How about that?
That too.
So anyway, we are here with Thomas Gutches.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Buddy, I'm fine. How about you?
Great. Sitting here trying to stare at this cup of coffee that I'm going to try to finish up here in a second. But
yeah, I mean, you got a trip in front of you, so, you know.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so
you just reminded me. I have to pack still.
Hey, you know, procrastination is an art.
It's
an art. Like, people underappreciate how fast you can get packed and procrastinate to that point.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So I mean, go for it, man. Just do you. All right. So first of all, what's new with our friends from Beartooth?
It's good. They are wrapping up a European tour as we speak. They recently partook in the Download Festival over in Dynaton Park.
Ooh.
So,
they're coming for me. They're coming for me. So, there's a fire somewhere.
Hey, at least it's a Columbus landmark. It was the Top Gun But yeah, Beartooth are doing well. The new record came out a couple weeks ago. It was very successful. We just found out that it debuted at number 25 on the Billboard 200 chart, and also broke the hard music and rock charts at number 3 each, and found out as well that it was the number 1 alternative record, which
is definitely kind of like, okay.
Definitely great.
Can we go ahead and throw out the name of the new album and where people can go find it? We're always about shameless Twitter plugs.
The name of the album is called Aggressive, and you can get it iTunes, of course streaming on Apple Music, Spotify, and you know, purchase it on Best Buy or anywhere you can buy music, essentially. So,
yeah, they're aggressive. Just goes hand in hand with hockey.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. It's I think I remember I had this conversation with you a while ago that like music and sports blend in so well together to the point where You know, if you go to an NBA game, you're hearing hip hop being played throughout the whole, you know, the whole course of it. Or sometimes at baseball games, it's a little more like traditional with like the organs and stuff like that. But hockey, you know, it's essentially a hard rock sport. You know, go back to, you know, when Bush was the team's theme song for the longest time, and now now the team's coming back out to Disturbed. I mean, it just shows you, like, if it's heavy and it's plummeting a little bit, and it punches like that, gets people amped up, and I'm sure it does for the team as well. I mean, loud, hard, fast, and get things going, as opposed to just, you know, nice, chill, steady hip hop.
Yeah,
you
know? Well, I mean, you know, there are players that listen to a little bit of hip hop and stuff, but for the majority of hockey fans and players, you can't go wrong with some kind of heavy stuff. Like, I love Bush, so I grew up on Bush. So Machine Head, when it became the staple of this arena, we were all about that. We're like, yes.
Oh, still to this day, when I hear that song, I still think of, you know, going to games.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the correlation with hockey and music. It's like you heard Seek and Destroy.
Mm-hmm.
It was used for the Sharks.
Yeah,
during this.
Yeah, like that when Metallica played at the the national anthem during
oh my gosh,
like,
dude, that was epic.
That was incredible. Like, yeah, that just goes to show, like, it's the emotion that it does, like, that it brings to it, and the fact that there is emotion in hard rock music, and that blends into, of course, the sport itself. So it's definitely good that, you know, music and hockey, especially hard rock, ties in so well together with it. You know.
Now, how often do you go to games?
A lot, a lot. I actually live right behind the arena.
Oh wow!
So it's a simple, like, 3-minute walk from my living room over to, you know, the back door over here. So
that's got to be like the best walk.
In other
ever.
Words, he just told us that he has no excuse for us not to see him. Well, I guess you've got this busy job thing that you do.
It's a busy job, but it's also at the same time, I bring my work with me all the time. And, you know, it's Matt can obviously verify for this. There have been times where I have had conference calls during games because we're in a time zone difference, to where if someone in California has to call and I'm on a conference call, you know, I'll go and I'll still partake in the call because, you know, I can multitask pretty well. And it's funny, like, there'll be some times where we'll be on a conference call and all of a sudden we'll score a goal. And, of course, you hear the horn and the crowd erupts. And then finally, once it, you know, tames down a little bit, the people will be like, well, we can definitely tell they just scored a goal. You're okay. And people on the other side, they get a kick out of it because it's to the point where people are, like, usually apologetic. Oh, we're sorry. We're disrupting the game. And it's like, no, it's okay. I can still multitask. And just people definitely get a kick out of their talking about something. Before you know it, you just hear a boom, and they're just like, oh, okay, he's
not
in a good mood right now.
Not to mention the cannon blast in the background.
Oh, the cannon blast, like, too. Where people be like, oh my god, did someone just shoot something off or whatever? I was like, yeah, it's a cannon, it's great. And they're like, wait, what? So, but it definitely keeps people in a loop where they're like, oh yeah, he's definitely a hockey fan if he's able to balance both hockey and business in the same forum where he can do conference calls, you know, during the first period.
Yep. Now, so now everybody else, there's no excuse.
Now
thank god for smartphones. If you're as mobile as I am, work goes with you everywhere.
Yeah, that's why it's called a PC now. It's not even called a phone. It's a PC.
Pretty much,
it's a PC that makes phone calls.
Yeah. Now, to my understanding, now we've had Taylor on before, and Taylor is a huge hockey fan.
Oh, yeah.
He is. And if you don't know anything about Taylor, we go back and forth on Twitter about certain things, and we have a distaste for a certain team east of here. They wear dirty colors that we don't like.
Yep.
And we go back and forth when that happens. It's really funny because we both hate the same thing.
Yeah, no, Taylor is one of the most passionate hockey fans that I know. Like, just to the point where, like, watching with him, like with him is just, it's the best. Like, it's an experience alone with him. It's funny that you would not, like, think that, like, usually when he's at a game, he's very focused and very quiet and very just, like, it takes a lot to distract him from that, but definitely, like, or even like playing like NHL 16 with him is definitely, it's a trip. So if you have an opportunity to even talk hockey with him, it's great. He's definitely one of the more educated hockey fans out there.
Is he one of the kind of guys that gets you amped up to the point where you want to run through a wall watching hockey?
Oh yeah, 100%.
And the one thing I've noticed about Taylor is he's bringing the other members of the band kind of with him with that passionate hockey theme.
Yeah, the band's bass player Ashi was, you know, he had an appreciation for the Jackets, but he never really, like, got to experience it live and get to experience, like, you know, what the game's about. And, you know, there have been a couple times where I would bring him with me to some of the games, and he'll go and be like, oh, wow, this is amazing. Like, when's the next game? Can we go to that one? And then I think he went to a total of, like, 12 games this past season. Now he's hooked on it. So definitely converting over, and there's obviously that appreciation and the fact that, you know, we have such a, you know, good relationship to the team to the point where even – you know, Stinger comes up on stage and, you know, plays a breakdown in the middle
of
their set.
Let's talk about that. I mean, like, we talked about it with Taylor, but how did that all correlation, how all happened?
Well, the band, of course, are based here in Columbus, and they were doing a special hometown show at the Newport Music Hall, sold out. Of course, we were going up against so much that day with, you know, we were going up against the Star Wars, you know, opening day, and we were dealing with all, you know, the campus crowd was going to be, you know, away during winter break and all that, but the fact that we were still able to sell it out, we just thought, okay, we got to show that this band means business, of course. They have such massive Columbus pride, so we were just like, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could somehow get Stinger involved? Like, you know, just give him a guitar, see what happens. Just get him on stage, see what happens. So
Stinger likes props.
Oh, yeah, he does. So, I mean, leaving with my job as a manager, you know, got in touch with the team, explained what we were doing, kind of, and just like, hey, think this would be a cool thing. You know, they're a nationally signed band, and they're going to be performing in their hometown. We figured this would be a good way to, you know, get the crowd amped up and show the hometown pride. And obviously, with the guys being such Jacket fans, we just,
yeah, and
Stinger showed up, gave him a guitar, and just, you know, just watch him headbang. So
I can't wait till that happens again.
Oh, it could be. We can't talk right now about it, but it's
what would be kind of cool is to have Stinger headbanging in a music video for a song that was recorded to be used as the new Jacket's goal song, because there's been this big thing on Twitter that was going on a couple of weeks ago where everybody was trying to come up with a potential song to replace The Whip.
Yeah.
The band are assigned to Red Bull Records, and obviously that's simple communications. I'm sure it wouldn't be an issue to try and make it happen, obviously, but
we need a Blue Jackets theme song.
Yeah, we've actually had this discussion, I think, off the air here. We've had this. I've had it with Taylor, and I've had it with you. I think any fan wants that for their team. They want that one theme song that's theirs, that they own. And
it helps, too, the fact that it's local.
Because
obviously the city of Columbus has, you know, such distinct pride in being local. So.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple bands that are from Ohio. I've talked to them about the potential of that, too. So, I mean, it's always up in the air. But one of the things I really appreciate about Beartooth and the bands that are around you is that they represent Columbus to the fullest. Mm-hmm. Like, Taylor goes out in a Blue Jacket jersey. Like, when he was in Canada, he was just rocking it.
Oh, man. Yeah, going when the band, you know, last fall, they did a tour with Slipknot. And, of course, when we did the Canadian track, we went to, you know, several NHL arenas in Canada. Like, we went to the Flames Arena, went to the Jets Arena. Of course, went to, you know, the Oilers Arena before it got, you know, got torn down. And he had the alternate jersey as his stage attire. And some people, like, you know, heckled it, and some people would just be like, wait, what? But the funny thing about it, there was one day where, you know, we had super early load-ins, and of course the band would usually sleep, you know, throughout the day, so about 7 or 8 in the morning we would have to go load into the arenas and like go get all of our stuff in, and I carried some of his wardrobe in, and it was, of course, you just we saw I was carrying an alternate jersey, and one of the security guards outside the arena was like, what, you're bringing that in here, what are you doing? I was like, oh yeah, I'm bringing it in there. All right, so
hey, people, 614, man.
Yeah, people got a kick of it. We take it everywhere. We try to bring that with us, or even like, you know, if they're on the road and there's an away game going on, we'll try to do our best to be like, all right, hey, someone give me your cable login. We got to stream the game. What's your cable login? We got to watch this. We got to watch that. So
that's
definitely
awesome.
Try to make it a priority, too, even when traveling overseas.
So if anybody's hearing this, if you have an NHL Game Center account and you don't mind sharing it with the members of Beartooth, shoot them a tweet. Give them some login information.
That'll be tight. So.
Yeah, we're not trying to pirate anything or nothing. No big deal.
Oh, no, that's, you can't even get the full experience out of that anywhere. I mean, there's nothing more, like, just more terrible when you're in a hotel with amazing Wi-Fi, the point where, like, you could stream anything and then it just breaks up and it's pixelated. So definitely, no pirating at all. It'll get to the point where we'll go and I'll be like, okay, I'm going to upgrade my cable package here real quick. We gotta watch this real quick. Yeah. So,
yeah, that's like, well, and that's like one of those things where you're, like, you watch it on TV, but it's not the same experience as being in the arena.
No,
here.
Not at all.
Not even close.
Well, you ask people all the time here that if they go to games out here, they talk about how fun the games are. And, like, didn't we win, like best, like, in-arena experience or something
like that?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We're one of the top five, I think, in the United States.
And
just experience and, like, you know, and personality. Like, we – such a personable team. Like, it's a local team. it's our team, and you know, it's like a big family. So when you walk in, you run into like eight or nine people that you know.
That's keyword, it's family. That's I feel like that's the vibe of City of Columbus, and that's I mean it's
that's
all
what you have to have.
We're one big giant family, of course.
Yeah, I mean, so. We've been known as the biggest, smallest town in the United States.
Yep. And this is one of the best cities in the world, hands down. Like, you know, there was a period of time where I didn't live here for about, like, 5 years or so. I lived out west, obviously. And the moment I had the opportunity to come back over here, of course, I ran with it.
Like, I know exactly what you mean. I was stationed out in North Carolina for 3.5 years. And as soon as I came back, I realized why you miss it. Like,
I mean, even this neighborhood, too. Like, you know, I was you know, talking with my mother about this, you know, when the NHL granted the expansion for us and we found out, oh, Columbus is getting a pro team.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that my mother told me when I was younger, she was like, oh, no, they're going to build a whole section of the city dedicated to them. And there's going to be restaurants and there's going to be, like, music venues, nightclubs, and there's going to be housing. And I remember tell my mom, I think I was, like, 11 years old or something like that, like, when it happened. And I was just like, wait, they're going to put houses around there? Like, Mom, can we move down
right,
there
right.
type of thing? And, of course, like, but granted, she was like, oh, no, we can't. But one of the things I told myself, too, that, you know, it was essentially, this is going to sound really probably cheesy to some people, but it was always my dream to live in the Arena District, because everything that's around here, it's like, it has the vibe of a like, neighborhood, like the traditional
Columbus
neighborhood. Like, the architecture around here is beautiful, and the people around here are friendly. It's, you know, the fact that I always told myself, if I ever had an opportunity to come back to Columbus, I was going to somehow move into the Arena District, and it just so happened to pan out. And I, like, to the point where it's like, I don't want to live in a house in the suburbs. I want to live downtown. I particularly want to live in that neighborhood. And it obviously makes, it's great. I have, you know, where I live, it's like, okay, I have music on one side, but I also have, you know, my team behind me as well. And it's such a motivating, like, area to be, like, a part of. Like, it's a big thing too. Everyone motivates each other. When you have, like, that sports, like, competitive environment near you, makes it all the better too. So,
yeah. Now, going back to the Blue Jackets here, I mean, that's the one thing you gotta love, is that the players are always sniffing around here somewhere somehow.
Oh yeah.
Who is your favorite, like, go-to player? Like, who do you pick out and say, okay, that's my guy?
Dubinsky.
Automatically.
I'm right there with you. Yeah. That's been. You know, I've been a longtime Columbus Blue Jackets fan, but growing up, I didn't work when I was a younger kid. So, I mean, I didn't pay for my own hockey jersey. Then I moved out of state for a couple of years. So when I finally got back and bought my first hockey jersey, it was after we had Dubinsky. That was the first Blue Jackets jersey I physically went and bought and owned. I had other Blue Jackets gear, but he was the first person I made the commitment to put a name on the back.
I'm always, like, so, like, I mean, granted, like, you never know what's going to happen with players, whether it's, you know, trades or anything like that. So I've always been so, so scared to get a jersey of a dedicated player, because it's like, just my luck. I'll go and I'll buy this jersey and I'm going to go on a run with it before you know he gets traded. Like,
I know a couple of people that think they have that luck.
I had it with Zhirinov. I was like, okay, I'm going to buy a Zhirinov jersey. And then, of course, you know, his situation happened. And then I got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm going to get Voracek. And then Voracek happened, and I was just at the point where I was like, all right, you know what? It's in here. I support the player here. So, but Dubinsky is my automatic go-to. Just the passion that he shows. Like,
that's true.
Is one of the most, like, if I have my opinion, like, the most passionate player, like, on the team. And you can sense that. Like, you can sense it on the ice. You can sense it in his interviews. But like every time I see him, I'm just like, that's my guy, because he's there to work. Clearly, and you can see that on and off the ice.
Now, is he your all-time favorite Blue Jacket player?
It's like, ask me who I like.
Who's your favorite kid? Who's your favorite kid?
The team as a whole, it's clearly one unit. Like, I can't, like, yeah, I have a specific favorite player, but at the end of the day, it's all about the team. It's a whole collective, like, unit of
exactly.
You're so politically
correct. The logo on the front is more important than the name on the back.
Exactly. Like, I try to embed that, like, in my business practices, where it's, you know, never have the I in team type of thing. Where, you know, sometimes I'll tell people I don't want to be looked at as, you know, a manager. I want to be looked at as a coach, to a sense that we have a giant group of people that all collectively work together to try and make this one thing happen, whether it's sell records, sell tickets, sell merchandise, get the band's name out there to some extent, like, try to go off that vibe.
I mean, if the band keeps going with their hockey push, you might become a coach, because they're going to need a coach when they all decide to start playing. They start a bare-tooth team.
They got enough guys. They could do five.
I don't think some of them have even – ice skated before, but it would be rather convenient.
That's okay. Columbus is one of the largest adult hockey leagues in the U.S., and we have an E-League for people that really don't know. Like, that's the start off. So, I mean, there's people in there that go in just learning how to skate. They'd be fine.
Yeah, just go back here, put on all this, like, you know, 40 pounds of padding and just go and just see what happens.
Exactly. At least you're in padding.
The content for online alone for that would be hilarious.
Imagine them in all their full pads, guitars and everything, making a video of them out there trying to do that.
Yeah, I think the only one in the band that actually knows how to ice skate and actually play, of course, is Taylor, because Taylor did play for the longest time. Like, he can go out there, no problem, and just be like, oh, go skate on this, no, fresh ice, cool, no problem, and he'll go and kill it.
See, I'd like to see Caleb with the passion that he carries in the front of the band. Like, I would love to see him.
I mean, you never know. Like, he is so naturally gifted at almost everything that he does that, like, you name it, like, the kid started to do audio engineering when he was, like, 16. Like, to the point where, like, he's 23 years old. And whenever we tell people that, like, oh, yeah, he's 23, they're like, wait, what, how old is he?
Right.
He's just, like, I wouldn't be surprised if somehow you put him in ice skates and give him a puck that he'll just kill it. Like, there was one time where we went to the driving range, like, you know, long time ago. And he was like, oh, I haven't really played, like, no, at all. Like, I don't see what I can do. Oh, here, I don't know, is this how you hold this? And he went and he instantly shot, like, 350 yards, like, first hit.
What?
Like, dude, come on. like you won. I was like, you know what? Not competing with you ever again.
And
so.
It's so hard to imagine that he's only 23.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's been in two bands.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he's been that good for so long.
Oh, just talent. Like, even, like, some of his production stuff. Like, people don't think that, you know, his previous band, Attack Attack, they had this song called Interlude that went – viral throughout the sports world, where they had this thing called the interlude dance, where it's like just this techno while it was literally the interlude to their record, and it went viral throughout the whole sports world. That some people don't realize, like, at the time a 14-year-old kid did that, like, they're just as House in Westerville on, you know, a little software that he had and just got added to the record. And the fact that, like, if people only knew that that song was done by him at such a young age, like, they'd be like, wait, what? That came out of someone who is not legal to drink or go to an R-rated movie.
Right. It's like, and my favorite Attack Attack song is The Russian. Like, I love that song. And, like, there was this, like, there, you could tell, like, I'm like, dude, this kid's talented.
Oh, yeah, no, and even, like, with
his songwriting, everything. Oh, and well, so,
he's definitely.
So I can imagine him, like, probably just going up there, like, oh, yeah, I can do this, no big deal.
Wouldn't be shocked at all. In fact, I think I have an idea for when I come back, I'll grab Taylor and be like, hey, let's take him ice skating with us.
All right, yeah. So anyway, when we get back here, we're gonna talk to about some things, and then we're gonna have another special guest on. Thomas, thank you for coming on. I know you gotta get going.
No problem at all. We'll be good.
How far is this trip that you have to make?
I am taking, actually, I guess you could say it's my first vacation in a long time. I'm going to Put-in Bay here, and probably as soon as
not
I get off here.
Not a bad spot to go.
Nope.
You're going to go venture to the beautiful beaches and oceans of Ohio.
If there's any around there, I've never been, but I either get mixed reactions. People are like, oh, my gosh, you're going to have so much fun. Like, oh, man, and I keep thinking, wait, there's an island in Ohio? Wait, define island. So, well, my friend sold me on going. So
it's a hot spot up there in Lake Erie.
We'll see. Sparkling waters of Lake Erie, nonetheless.
Just watch out for the Lake Erie monster.
I heard
he's a scary one.
I'll gladly go high five.
Exactly. They just brought back a Calder Cup. So, yeah. That guy, give him a high five. So,
awesome.
All right, Thomas Gutchess, thank you for coming on to the podcast.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more hockey. And
maybe the pick might be in by then.
Hopefully. We'll see.
So let's get at it.
All right. Podcast. We are live, sort of, outside of Nationwide Arena for the 2016 CBJ Draft Party. We just made our third pick. TJ, what's his name again?
Pierre-Luc Dubois, I think is how you pronounce it.
Dubois. Dubois, yeah.
I know it sounded French, but I couldn't remember how it was pronounced exactly. It's definitely a surprise. Did not expect that
one.
The consensus pick was Puljujärvi, but I like the pick.
Yeah, it's a good pick. We needed that.
But why don't we – I mean, do we want to get a weigh-in from his potential future teammate here? Because in case nobody knows right now because they're not here watching us, I have Seth Jones sitting here to the right of me. Welcome to the podcast, Seth.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. What do you think? Good pick?
I think so. You know, I haven't seen a lot of him play, but obviously he's a good player. He's going to do a lot for us this year, and hopefully he comes in and really impresses for us.
All right, yeah. I don't know much about him because we were all concentrated on the three picks that they had assumed.
Yeah.
And so, by the way, I kind of want to ask you, what was it like for you as a draft pick coming in? Like, what was it like that whole week?
Everything's pretty new, obviously. You're trying to get accustomed with, you know, the city and, you know, development camp. You know, a lot of eyes are on you, mm-hmm. and you're not just on the ice but off the ice. They're trying to get a sense of your character and those sorts of things. So, you know, I try to just have fun with it, enjoy it, and, you know, it does seem like there's a little bit of pressure, but you just got to have to kind of take it for what it's worth, and it's always good pressure that's on you.
Yeah, and I can imagine it was nerve-wracking, like you're just sitting there waiting and waiting. Yeah. And so, I mean.
It was pretty nerve-wracking. It was probably, you know, it's 10 minutes between each pick, and it was probably the longest 30 minutes of my life.
They probably feel like hours at that point,
right.
Don't they?
It was insane. You know, the good thing was, you know, my family was next to me, my two brothers, and my mom and dad. So that was that's kind of the part that kind of keeps you, you know, poised and feeling.
Now your brother is a selection in the NHL. Is that correct?
Yeah, he got drafted last year by Edmonton, fourth round.
Oh wow, yeah. See, so it's just running in the family, and
I guess
it's kind of polarizing because if anybody knows anything about your family history, your dad was NBA center for so long, which, and you know, everybody's like, "Oh, you should play basketball." You know, they usually push you that way, right?
Yeah, they. I mean, I've gotten that question thousands of times. I can't even tell you, but
in our mind, you picked the right sport.
Thanks. I hope so. My dad didn't push, you know, me or my brothers to play basketball. Mm-hmm. He just let us do what we wanted to do. And actually, my older brother played hockey, but so all three of us played hockey at the same time, really.
Yeah, see that's a bonding experience with any family, like, you know, you just it's like, hey, let's go play some puck. Okay, sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
I don't know how it started. It's probably something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to my understanding, your favorite team growing up was the Avalanche. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And so, and everybody, like anybody in the NHL, we idolized Joe Sakic.
Yeah, exactly.
So
Ray Bourque and all those guys on that team that year.
Yeah.
Back during the Red Wings Avalanche rivalry. That was some good times for hockey.
That was unbelievable. So I was kind of right in the middle of that when all that was going on. So, you know, as a kid with two brothers, you know, I'm at game 7 against New Jersey when they won at home.
Oh, wow.
So I'm sitting there on the glass and I see, you know, Ray Bourque with his first cup and all that fun stuff. So that's kind of what pushed me toward the game.
Yeah, we definitely need that here. That's for sure. So what do you think of all the people down here for the draft party? I mean, and this is your first experience this year, off season wise, in Columbus. What do you think?
It's awesome. I didn't know you guys had a draft party. We had a draft party, and it's awesome to see our fans come down and support us and really show you know, what the city and the fans are all about here. And it's also kind of cool for the, you know, the pick that's coming in, you know, Dubois, to really see what the fans are like.
Are you going
to
stick around?
I'll be here this week.
Oh, nice.
Not
on the ice, right?
No.
I understand. I was like, listen, you know.
Yeah.
I'm past that. No, I'm just kidding.
So I got to ask, speaking of, you know, the young guys coming up and everything, the Lake Erie Monsters just had an incredible run, one of the best performances in the AHL Calder Cups in at least recent history. Going 15-2, winning the Calder Cup, and you've got a young guy that could potentially be playing with you maybe next year, the year after that, in Zach Werenski.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be exciting to see a kid at that young of an age the way he's playing. I'm sure that's going to help you guys out tremendously with the defensive core here.
It will. He's a fantastic player. I had the chance to see him play the past couple of years. He actually played with my little brother at the U.S. Development Program. When he was 16, 17 years old, so I got to see that, and just, you know, playing for USA Hockey World Championships and all that stuff. So he's going to be a great asset for us. He's very smart on the back end, and I'm sure I'm going to learn a lot from him as well.
I was going to say, some of the guys like Jack and Toots, I mean, they're going to start feeling pretty old with all you young guys playing on the D line there.
A couple of 21-year-olds back there, 18-year-olds, so should be fun though.
So, all right, so we do this with every player that comes on. We kind of ask them kind of some offbeat questions. So
a little rapid-fire session of stuff non-hockey related.
Yeah, okay. We're going to give you like five real quick questions, and you just answer. All right. First off, Seth Jones, favorite movie. Go.
Oh, God. Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh, okay. All right, all right. You got a little soft spot, yeah?
Yeah, I do. I like drama movies.
Okay. Second of all, favorite genre of music?
Hip-hop.
Who's your favorite artist?
Drake.
You got to have some soft spot for country, though.
I do.
You spend a good time in the heart of country.
Country songs.
But yeah, I'm sure.
You've heard five or six. You've heard them all.
Yeah.
Now, my understanding. Thank God you're not a Bieber. You don't have Bieber fever, because a lot of the guys that we've heard in the locker room, they have.
I do have a little bit.
You do.
All the guys, their top song they say on their iPod is Justin Bieber.
Oh, okay.
That's probably one of mine. That's probably top five for me.
Oh, Bieber. Really? Beats?
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
And yet he hasn't donned any Blue Jackets gear yet.
He has not, no. He comes here. He probably comes here though for his tour, no?
Yeah, at least once or twice a year.
Yeah, he was
up in Cleveland just a little while ago.
He was, yeah.
Yep. So, and all right, next question. Favorite type of food? What's that food that gets you, like, you got to have it?
Steak.
Steak?
Steak, potatoes.
What's your favorite restaurant? No plug.
Favorite restaurant? Oh, I don't know.
He walks over to Rodizio
for a steak,
don't you?
Rodizio or Hyde Park.
Jimmy John's.
Yeah. Jimmy John's. They have steak. Yeah, of course. Okay, and then next, are you a truck guy, SUV guy, sports car guy?
Sports car.
Sports car, what kind?
Doesn't matter.
Like
Mercedes sports cars.
Mercedes? All right, yeah. So you're like the luxury sports car. Okay,
yeah,
okay, I got you.
The one go-to question every time, just because we're Walking Dead fans on the show, if you had to pick one teammate to survive a zombie apocalypse with, who's it going to be?
How about this? We'll broaden it. Throughout your career, who has it been?
In my career.
Well, he's going to take Shay then, because the guy can hit a zombie with a 110-mile-per-hour slap shot.
The toughest guy, the biggest guy.
Okay, how about this? We'll whittle it down to the Blue Jackets. How about that?
Probably Prout.
Prouder?
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that. I think he's got
second
a little
closest to Shay.
Oh, second closest?
Second closest.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not going to
Prout that. If a guy can one-punch Lucic down, he can take out some zombies.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, well, we have Seth Jones here. Thank you, guys. Thank you for coming in. Appreciate it. We are here with the Fifth Line Podcast. We're still live. We're going to give you our take on the draft pick that we just had. We'll be back with the Fifth Line Podcast. Welcome back to the Fifth Line Podcast. We just had Seth Jones.
That's right. We
on
did.
The podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you don't know anything about the history with me and Seth Jones, I wanted him from the get-go when he was getting ready to be drafted. I said, we need a defenseman. Seth Jones, that's our guy. And because I had watched him when he was with the Portland Winterhawks. And I didn't want a fangirl right there. Like, oh, my gosh, I've been watching you since, you know, this and this.
By the way, this is very random stat, but if he ever gets in a fight with someone, that dude's got a handshake grip like no other. He's
going
to break your hand.
Yeah, and he's got leverage. That's another thing, too. He's really tall. 6'4 is modest if it's in the playbook.
We had to adjust. Yeah, we had to adjust the table space over here because he couldn't sit down in the chair because of how tall he is.
Yeah, we're still coming at you live from the plaza. The Blue Jackets had made the pick
for
right before
Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Yeah, Pierre-Luc Dubois. Like we were all our jaws dropped because.
Well, for one, Twitter kept blowing up with all these trades about Hartnell and Milano, just coming from all these confirmed but not confirmed sources.
Yeah,
so we're like, well, did they make the trade? We keep hearing about earlier on this week that they were going to make the trade, but no, they come up, pick is in, and Jarmo Kekalainen threw a curveball at us.
Dude.
I'm not saying I'm upset with the pick by any means. I fully trust what Jarmo decides. But none of us really did our homework on this kid because everybody was focused on that the top three was going to go Matthews, Laine, and Puljujarvi.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, like, that was something else, man. Like, I'm telling you, it was like you we were all like, okay, you know, we know the first three picks. We actually know the first four picks. And we were just in shock.
Yeah, because we figured that Kachuk was going to go number four.
Yeah, but, I mean, there had to be something that stood out that the Blue Jackets just absolutely loved.
I don't even think it has anything to do necessarily with the surgery that Puljujarvi's having. And we also know that Jarmo loves his Finns. So if he turned down Finnish player in Jesse Puljujärvi.
He's not allowed back.
To play, to pick Pierre-Luc Dubois. There must be something special about this kid that we were so focused on the players that were listed at the top of the board that we overlooked it.
Korpisalo's going to have to sneak in Jarmo now. Like, that's the only way he's getting into the country. Because, Finns stick together. So I was just kind of shocked. But you know what? We'll see what happens. Next week, am I correct? Next week is development camp?
I do believe so because we've got a couple of our friends already in town. I actually know that we've got two goalies, Oscar Dansk and Elvis Merzlikens, are already in Columbus. Took their long trek over from Europe there.
Yeah, I'm ready for Elvis to rock it.
Defend his back-to-back development camp championships and the little tournaments there.
And I am ready to I'll be straight up honest with you. I am absolutely ready for a dance party. I think Dansk having a year over in Sweden to play and develop, I think he's going to come back better.
That's going to cause so many good problems because we've already got a great goalie tandem in Lake Erie, plus these other two young guys who are going to need home soon. And then you've got a good goalie tandem in Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and think about this. And we've talked off the air about this. This is going to be one of the toughest situations in recent history that the Blue Jackets have internally. They are going to have to make so many decisions and part ways with so many players that we don't want to part with. And it's going to be hard on everybody. Like, there's going to be some people that are going to be hurt, but this is for the better of the entire team as a whole. And, we got to trust Jarmo. Obviously, we trust Jarmo enough to make a very left field pick.
Left wing pick. Left wing pick.
Well, we'll go with that one. Pun intended. So anyway, we are just in shock, but hey, let's see what this kid can bring.
Yeah, and we're not expecting this kid to necessarily jump straight up and play with the big club. I mean, he very well could maybe stay in juniors. I didn't do any research on this guy.
We had Puljujärvi researched
exactly.
To the T. And now we were cut off guard.
And then Line A was the backup just in case Winnipeg wanted Puljujärvi. But, even so, he has a chance to go and play alongside a couple of champions because, as we talked about earlier with Seth Jones, the Lake Erie Monsters are Calder Cup champions just a couple of weekends ago. Actually, it's only been, about 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Not even 2 weeks yet.
And we haven't really begun to talk about that because, right now the podcast is going a little longer than expected. We were at game four.
Absolutely.
And game four in Cleveland was absolutely insane. 20,000 people just going absolutely nuts for the Calder Cup. And it was the second largest in Calder Cup finals history.
And the largest hockey crowd that we've had to date in the state of Ohio so far.
In the state of Ohio. Until we get that CBJ in the shoe. When that will happen, we don't know, but it will eventually happen. But
so just a reminder, keep tweeting that hashtag. Yeah. One of these days, the NHL is going to see it.
Yeah, I think we're on the radar. I just don't think it's going to happen right away. But when it does, boy, this place is going to explode. But
like a cannon.
Like a cannon?
Yeah, it's going to explode like a cannon.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Got to make the references somehow.
Obviously, you can tell we're getting a little delirious because we need hockey in our lives.
Like, yeah.
It's 2 weeks.
Weeks without watching a live hockey now.
Yeah.
But now that the draft's here, the playoffs are done, all that said and done, we're not even going to mention the Stanley Cup playoffs at all right now because
we don't like those people.
That's news that no one in Columbus wants to hear about right now. But hockey's done. But now the offseason starts. The draft is going on right now. Free agency is going to start. Obviously, we know what our situations with things like cap and everything is. So, there's moves that are bound to come. So, we're not going to be running out of anything exciting or interesting to talk about when it comes to Blue Jackets hockey. Development camps coming up. Training camps going to be right around the corner. The World Cup of Hockey training camps going to be going on here in Columbus, pretty soon as well.
Basically, Nationwide's going to be a very busy place.
It is. It is indeed. Columbus in general, when it comes to hockey, is going to be very busy.
Yeah, yeah. And so you got to make your way down here. Development camps next week. It's around the corner. Got to come and see the prospects, especially some of the prospects that are going to be coming up from the Monsters. Some of these guys, get up here and congratulate these guys. Show them that you're about it. Warinsky will probably be up here. There's a few guys that are still in town, ready for development camp. So, we're gonna leave here because people are leaving.
The pick has been made. Everybody got to see what the Jackets are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to probably beat themselves up over it if they weren't here to witness on the screen live if we do any crazy trades or anything like that. But
we
that's
opened,
okay.
We opened this up, and now we're closing it down. So
exactly.
So everybody's left. Everybody's done.
Since we talked about the Lake Erie Monsters, there's only one way to send people off. I'm going to bypass the fifth line hot thing this week.
Keep the monsters hot?
We could go with that. But we're going to give you guys the wonderful soundbite from the Lake Erie Monsters game-winning goal in Game 4, just so that way we can kind of get you all amped up for the hockey season now that the offseason is officially here, which in my mind starts the 2016-17 NHL season.
Absolutely, 100%. Once the draft is made, rookies from last year are now sophomores. I mean, it's crazy. I can't wait. Like, I hate sitting right now at the Arena District, not being able to walk in and watch a hockey game. But it'll come soon enough. Stick with us this summer. We're going to have more podcasts with us. Hopefully we'll find Jordan. We put out a bat signal, an alert for him.
Yeah, his face is on every milk carton in town if anybody buys milk cartons.
Yeah,
I think we actually put out books, Where's Jordan? You got to find the I don't know what he's wearing. Is he in a Blue Jackets jersey or something?
No, we bought him a red striped shirt and a skull cap, and we got him glasses as well.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be like a Will.
We also changed. Yeah, we also changed his name to Waldo.
Yeah, so we're going to change his name
code
to Waldo. Anyway, thank you guys, everybody who came out for the draft party today. That was awesome. Thank you to Seth Jones.
Sorry there was no giraffes.
No giraffes this year. Sorry about that. Sorry to Seth Jones there was no giraffe, which he would probably see eye level with because he's so tall. But, yeah, thank you to Seth Jones for coming on, and thank you to the Blue Jackets organization for allowing that to happen. You know who you are. Thank you to Thomas Gutches, manager of our friends, the big fifth line band, Beartooth, who are currently right now in Europe representing the 614 Hardcore. So thank you for coming on. Have a safe trip, Thomas. You'll probably listen to this later. But anyway, thank you guys for joining us. We're going to leave you with the soundbite from the Monsters' game-winning goal that clinched the Calder Cup for Cleveland. The second championship in 2 weeks, and we can't forget.
It was in a week time frame, roughly.
Yeah, it was Stipe. Stipe won the UFC, then the Calder Cup, and then the Cavs, congratulations Cleveland, are winning the NBA championship.
Next up, Indians, and then the Blue Jackets.
Let's go Blue Jackets first. I'm more of partial.
Well, their season ends before ours
starts. Yeah, that's true. All right, so go Indians, and then
go Jackets, as always.
All right, hit it.
5 seconds left. Werenski, another jam on the shot, turning and firing. They score!
They score!
The Monsters score! The dream was so real, it had to come true. And after 52 years of waiting, Mr. Calder, welcome home to Cleveland.